Hey, Jeff.
Hey, Eric.
How are you?
I'm pretty good. How are you?
Doing well, thank you. It's Tuesday, and that means it is a new episode of A Waste of Time with It's the Real. We are 1 week. We are 7 days from flying down to Austin, Texas.
Every year, people, like, all of New York and half of LA goes to South by Southwest, and we've always been, like, for 10 years, we've been like, don't need to be down there.
We're not those guys.
Like, we see everybody in New York anyway. It's all of New York. It's half of LA.
It's better when New York City is totally empty. We'll
New
enjoy
York
it here.
Is beautiful this time of year. Visit New York in March.
Yeah, like, we've seen Kanye perform. We're not here for, like, you know, the Mountain Dew tent.
South by Southwest is so over. Like, yeah, we're not trying to get that Dorito sponsorship. We're not trying to get, you know, Pizza Hut.
The guys who were like, South by is over for
it's
10
dead.
Years.
Dead.
10 years.
Dead. Who needs it?
And now?
And now we're being flown down to South by Southwest, and we are gung-ho.
Let's bringing it back.
Yeah, we are going to...
South by is happening this year.
Colonize.
That's right. We are going to be doing a live podcast. It's an honor. We are going to be on the official South by stage. We're going to be podcasting live. Everyone should go check that out. That's Wednesday.
Wednesday from 2 to 3 p.m.
Wednesday the 15th.
The 15th.
Be there.
Yeah.
2 to 3 p.m. Do we have a guest yet?
No, we're working on it.
Okay, cool. Also, we're going to be hosting a humongous event on Saturday night. And then in between, we will be performing. We will be eating. We will be running around.
We will hopefully see Nardwar. That's the dream.
That's the goal.
The dream is to meet Nardwar in person.
That's all we want. So, Nardwar, I know you listen.
Yeah.
Hit us up and check us out.
We just want to do the doot-doot-a-loot-doot. That's it.
So, yeah, we're looking forward to that. That should be fun. The only problem is that we went to a birthday party the other night, mm-hmm. and we run into our friend Kaz from Bleacher Report, and I told him how excited we were that we were going to South by, and what'd he say?
He said, you're going to hate it.
Yeah, so.
But I told him that's fine because I hate everything, so.
Also, Jeff, I did want to mention that we've been basking in the glow of our sold-out show at SOBs, and I want to thank everyone once again for coming through. Everywhere we go, everyone's like, yo, I was at the show. It's like everybody was at Woodstock.
Yeah.
This feels like everybody was in the building at our sold-out show. Everyone said that we did such a great job, and I'd like to say that I agree. We did a great job, and if anybody out there is in a different city, Atlanta, Philly, Chicago, Toronto, Vancouver, LA.
All different cities. Just
Guam.
Any city, not New York, yeah.
Hit us up. Let us know if you want us to come to your city, and we will try to work something out. Let's make this, your girls' tour, a real tour.
Yeah.
Let's make that happen. Hit us up online. Fuck it. Email us.
Email me at jeff@itsthereal.com.
And you know what? If you want to email me too, it's eric@itsthereal.com.
Wow. Okay. So the thing about this is, for weeks Eric was like, no, like don't give out your email address. Like, everybody's gonna hit you up with like, you know, garbage emails.
Oh, I mean, I don't want those garbage emails.
No, but nobody did. Everybody was, you know, if I put my email out there, people would actually write.
They were business inquiries.
Yes, they were serious, serious offers only.
There were no spam.
And so, you know, Eric was like, well, you can't put your email out there. People are going to guess mine. And nobody guessed yours.
Or no one cares.
No one cares.
Also, I wanted to correct one thing that I said last week. I had mentioned that Freeway was suffering from diabetes. I was incorrect. He is, I confused diabetes and dialysis for his kidneys.
Gotcha.
So, just shout out to Freeway. Shout out to everybody down in Philly. And shout out to the whole team, New Rothschilds, everyone over there. We always wish Freeway well and appreciate him coming to our show. Anything else that's new that we should mention? We went to a couple of going away parties.
Yeah, everybody's leaving New York to go to L.A. and Denver.
Well, but we went to our friend Renaud's going away party. And if people don't know him by his full name, he is Boss Nod.
Yes, he has been on our podcast with Big Waz a couple of times now.
Yes, and so at Nod's going away party, do you remember he took the mic? This is at the end of the night. This is actually the end of the first of two parties. He grabs the mic. Cast One is next to him DJing. And he's like, yo, I just want to say, before I moved up to New York City from Orlando, and it changed my life, but when I was just living in Orlando, I would stream the Hot 97 broadcast, and I would rip that shit, and I would put it on CDs, and I would sell it. And Cast One was one of the guys whose mixes I loved, and I sold that shit. And now he is next to me right now DJing my going away party. And I thought that was pretty pretty awesome.
Yes. Also, we are going to get Cast One on our podcast at some point soon.
Shout out to Cast One.
Cast One always comes up to me and he's like, when's my fucking episode? And it's like, I don't, you know, I'm the one. We'll make it happen.
Yes. Bottom line, Cast One, great dude, got a story to tell, and we're very much looking forward to having him on the podcast. But today.
Today, we have Super Duper Kyle.
Well, so that's the question. Is he Super Duper Kyle? Is he Kyle?
I think he's just Kyle, but Super Duper Kyle sounds better for this intro.
Yes. It's a great time.
Because imagine if I'm just like, oh, we have Kyle.
This guy has just rocketed up the charts. I mean, his song with Lil Yachty is called I Spy.
Yeah.
And you can't get it out of your head. It's everywhere.
It's the number one song on iTunes right now.
Shout out to Kyle. This kid did it all on his own. And he didn't know anything about podcasts. Is that right?
This was his first podcast ever.
And he didn't understand, like, you know, what he was getting into. And we had the best conversation.
Well, it should also be said. So this is the day after our show at SOBs. So
right.
Eric and I woke up.
Late.
You know,
we were out late. We woke up late.
Yeah. Well, I woke up early, but
I woke up late. I was like, I need some sleep.
But I saw you, and it was like probably like 10 or something, and I was just like, I don't want to talk to anybody. I don't want to.
Because we had a 1:30.
Yeah, we had a 1:30 podcast with Kyle, Super Duper Kyle.
Yeah.
And we're just like, ugh.
Like, why did we agree to this?
This is so stupid. I'm just so tired.
Right.
And then this kid walks in, and by the end of it, I was just like, oh, like I would hang out with this guy, you know, for a couple hours more. Like this was awesome. This was an awesome, awesome episode.
Shout out to Kyle.
He made me want to talk to people. I'll say that.
Shout out to Kyle. Shout out to all of his fans out there who, you know, we just put a picture up and people went crazy over it. So shout out to everybody who's supporting Kyle. And if you don't know anything about him, please give this episode a listen. When should we get into it?
Right now.
Yo, what up? It's Eric, a.k.a. Ford Explorer, a.k.a. You Remind Me of a Jeep. Yo, what up? It's Jeff, a.k.a. Long Line at the Tunnel, a.k.a. Gang Bang.
Yo, what's up? It's Kyle, a.k.a. The anime-ass nigga, a.k.a. Your mom probably would date me, a.k.a. I got ash lips that you just can't see.
Yeah, this is a waste of time, but this is the real.
Bomb noise.
Kyle, what's happening?
What's up, y'all?
Yo, listen. So normally I go by Curl God, right? Because I have like...
You do have some luscious ass
but
curls.
But you brought in some kind of hair that we have never seen before. You are like challenging me for the Curl God status.
Man, thank you. You're definitely up there with the curls.
Oh,
y'all can't
you.
See, but his curls are vicious. my curls are... They're a part of me.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, they're a part of my personality. And I spend a lot of time on them.
How often do you get your hair cut?
Man, I am the king of getting shitty haircuts. So I
almost,
I think that's
me. Nah, bro, I have some stories, fam. Like,
all right, let's go back and forth.
Let's
okay,
go.
For sure. Yeah. So I walk into this barber shop in LA. This is the best barber in LA because he's like the blackest barber in LA. So he does his thing. Like, and his name's L, and L feels the need to let his 13-year-old son, literally like 12 or 13, he's like, nah, he gonna cut you today, bro. Is a child.
What?
And I'm like, and the thing is, I'm just so nice that I always get a shitty haircut because I'll just always
I won't say anything.
I'll just take the L. And so I'm like, kind of like,
no, he's L.
No, he's L, but I will take the L from L,
right?
And junior,
you had
L.
A child.
I had a 13-year-old fuck my head up one time. I'm sorry, can I cuss on this?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, my bad.
You were a guinea pig.
Yeah,
you let it happen.
Was he standing on like an apple box?
Nah, he was just short and he lowered the chair hella much.
He
acted hella confident, like he was about to murk it. And I'm like, well, maybe he is the son of an amazing barber. Like, he's in here, you
right,
know what I'm saying?
The apple doesn't fall far from the tree.
Exactly.
No,
that's not
how it works.
The apple literally fell on the ground and rolled down a mountain,
right, yeah.
And jumped into a truck. And the truck hit the highway and fucking took it to like a boat that then went to China. And they
sunk.
Launched that bitch into space. That's how, that's yeah. how far
I
want to
hear more about this apple.
From the tree. That's how far away from the tree. This kid was, but
that's,
hopefully
that's
they
awful.
Never hear this.
That is awful. Shout out to L.
Yeah, leave a comment if you cut Kyle's hair.
That's right.
I had a shitty L's haircut a number of times. My barbers will leave me looking like fucking Dimitri from Eastern, you know, Ukraine.
Yeah.
Just like every and they sell gold. They sell. We've talked about it in the podcast.
Yeah, it's not
bunch.
Just a barbershop. Yeah. They sell antiques.
Yeah,
they sell gold.
Wow.
Right across the street. So I don't know if you need a shape up or anything.
Yeah.
You
see.
Look like you're from.
Don't ever go to them. Like, we do everything type spots. Like, if there's any place that every place should focus on damn near one thing.
Okay? Agreed. Yeah.
You should never go to a pizza place and be able to get sushi. You should never go to a fucking antique shop and be like, yeah, let me get a number two.
To be fair, it's a haircut place that you get antiques at. Yeah. So you're switching it around.
But I'm just saying, either way, one of those got to be bad.
Yeah.
If you do two things, one of them has to be subpar compared to the other.
Agreed.
So, like, I just feel like you should just avoid that.
Well, now let me ask you this. Explain Britney Spears, like, who can sing and dance.
Damn, you know it. Wow. Yeah, you got me there.
Mind blown. Would you ever get your hair cut by a bald barber?
Yeah. Why not?
Because that's just like naturally falling.
That's natural. I mean, yeah, that's like, they can't stop that. You know what I'm saying? It probably makes them cut hair better because they're just like, you know what I'm saying? They appreciate that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I would definitely let a bald dude cut my head. Never letting a 13-year-old cut my head again, though.
What about a bald 13-year-old?
Today, man, if there's a bald 13-year-old, bro, I'm going to just pray for homie. First, I'll let him do whatever. I'll be like, bro, just take that sharp knife over there and just fucking
give yourself an L.
Give me a design, bro. Just carve an L into my head. Like. But, yo, yesterday,
yeah.
Actually, not yesterday. I'm lying. When was that? That was like 3 days ago.
Doesn't matter. The podcast comes out in like a week anyway.
Okay, for sure. Yeah. A very long time
ago.
Yeah. I was actually out here getting ready to do some press shit, and I needed to get a haircut. And I go to this barbershop, and I'm going to call y'all out. It's Rudy's. Rudy's fucking barbershop, if y'all know about that place. I call the lady because I'm trying to plan now. Now I know it's a 13-year-old kid. Shit is actually my fault because I didn't call Elle ahead of time and be like, yo, do you have any 13-year-old son in there that's going to try and cut my hair? I didn't prepare. So this time I was like, yo, I'm going to call ahead. I'm going to make sure. I'm like, yo, do you have like anybody in there that can cut like black people hair? And I just like was very open. I was just like, do you have anybody in there that can cut black people hair?
Right.
And she was just like, yeah, no. What do you need? And I was like, I just need a fade. She's like, fade, no problem. Yeah, we got you. I can't remember the lady's name, but we're just going to call her Susan right now.
Talk about it.
Susan.
Yeah. Shout out to Susan.
Fucking Susan is supposed to cut my hair. So I show up there. And Susan is literally like 56 years old, like a 56-year-old white lady. She's a veteran. Yeah, she's a veteran hair cutter. But I said fade to her, and she looked at me like she had no idea what I was fucking talking about. I was like, I just need a fade, and she was just like, you can't see my facial expression, right. But she made this dumbass face, and I was just like, ah, this is scary. And so I decided to try and go for it anyway.
What is your problem?
Yeah, why do you do this?
I don't know, man, because I just can't tell. I can't look somebody in the eyes and be like, I don't trust you. Like,
you just
it feels so bad.
You don't understand when danger's coming your way?
Yeah. I don't know. It's just it's something about the barber specifically that I just can't look at. Like, it's like me. Look, you're a barber, so you're supposed to be good at cutting hair.
Yeah.
And then I look at you, and I have to tell you to your face, nah.
Right.
Like, I'm judging you right
now. Well,
let me
ask you
a
question.
I don't believe in you.
What if somebody, like, what if just, like, a friend of a friend of your cousin hits you and is just like, yo, I'm rapping now, and I need you to jump on my song. Will you be able to look at them right in the face and be like, no?
The thing is, I can judge the song. I can be like, oh, I heard the song. It doesn't really fit with me. That's so much easier to get out of it.
You need to have seen the haircuts.
When there's a barber, it's like, either A, you have to see the haircuts, and then just be like, no, you suck.
Yeah.
Or you can't just be like, I don't think your haircut style fits with me. You can't do that.
Right.
Or you have to look at them and be like, I could have definitely said to the 13-year-old, you 13, bro. You're not cutting my hair.
Right.
But I can't just look at the lady and just be like, you know, you're a 56-year-old white lady. I'm not going to let you cut my hair. So I sat down anyways and then started to go with it. And it turned out to she started giving me like this weird ass bowl cut, like this weird ass like bowl fro.
A new
like,
Kyle.
Imagine my hair now.
Yeah.
Just with all this like, damn near, she was trying to make my shit skin bald. Like, she started here and I was like, nah, you'd like.
By the way, we've got all types of dishware here. We can like cut your hair right after this.
Oh, yeah.
Man.
In our home. That's when, like, real rappers get their hair cut like at the house, you know?
Yo, real rappers don't. It's another thing. If you go somewhere to do a podcast, don't get a haircut. Okay? don't ever do some place that offers two services.
We can do a
million things.
Because
one of them is bad. Yeah, no, it will cut your hair. You know what I'm saying? We can give you a tattoo. We're good at all these things that are permanent.
Yeah.
Trust us.
In less than 30 minutes. Yeah. So,
But anyway, sorry, Susan, but your name's not Susan either, but she did a really bad job, and then they actually saved it because they saw me and Susan getting into like a real New York argument. I was like, yo, you fucking this up, son. Like, my fade is trash right now. She's like, your fade is trash because your fucking head is too fucking big. And I was just like, and
Jesus.
The dude was, we didn't say that, but the dude came and he was like, oh, we're going to move you to a different chair.
Yeah. But then it was too late. But you know, whatever.
I know. Yeah. So you're originally from
Ventura, California.
And
well, I was born in Northridge. Sorry. Okay. There's a lot of ifs here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I got mad speech impediment. So, but my personality shines through. But you can't see it. So I'm trying to sell it all with voice right now. I'm from Northridge.
You're from Northridge.
And I say I'm from Ventura, but I was born in Northridge.
Northridge, right. Known for the earthquake.
Yes.
Yeah.
I survived that shit.
Congratulations.
Yeah. Yeah. You made it.
I know. I didn't do anything. I was a baby. Right. So I contributed zero to my success.
Don't
surviving.
Sell yourself short.
I know.
There are 13-year-old barbers out there who did not make it.
Yeah, true. You're hella right.
Yeah. So you grew up in Northridge. How long did you live there?
I lived in Northridge until I was like, till like 8th grade.
Oh, okay. So really, like, you're
13.
Like 12, 13, yeah.
Yeah.
So I was like, I feel like my childhood was in Northridge, but then like my teenage years were all in Ventura.
What's that like moving in 8th grade?
Hard.
Yeah, right?
Man, it was like, it's really hard because
everybody's getting bar mitzvahed.
Everybody's getting bar mitzvahed. Actually, I don't even know what that's like or what that's about. I will say this. In Northridge, the hardest part was that in Northridge, like, it's a real melting pot. Not like here, but imagine this just hella small.
Yeah.
Have you guys been to L.A.?
Yes.
Yeah.
You've been to Northridge?
No, not Northridge, no.
Okay. Well, the valley just in general is
It's
like the suburbs of L.A.
Right.
And it's such, like, a mixing pot. Like, I grew up, like, the kids across the street, I lived in, like, a Jewish community. I was, like, I was a black kid in a white house in a Mexican street in a Jewish community.
And bro, you didn't know what bar mitzvahs were?
Not really, because they all went to their own, I don't know, they all just did their own thing.
Oh, did they? Okay, yeah. Gotcha.
Do you know what quinceañeras are?
I know what a bar mitzvah is, I just never been to one.
Right.
I definitely know, I've attended mad quinceañeras. Like, it's great, those were the best.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Yeah, but yeah, like it was just all mixed up, you know? And so I was used to just being normal. I felt like everything was normal, like, because there were so many different types of people. I never felt like I'm somewhere where it's just all this or all that. Like,
right.
Like I said, I was like a half black kid. I was a black kid in a white house on a Mexican street.
Right. Jewish community.
In a Jewish community that was neighboring like an all Cambodian community. So the valley is like a mixing pot. And then I moved to Ventura. That's how I grew up, you know, but then I moved to Ventura. And Ventura is kind of like just all white people.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It's just like surfer town. It's like Point Break or some shit. You know what I mean? It's like
clueless.
Yeah.
And how do you?
But not clueless, really.
No, because they have Dion. But
yeah, exactly. Nah, the thing is, and there are like, nah, it's really just all white people. It's like Rocket Power without the ethnicity.
Yeah.
That's what it's kind of like. And so like, I move out there.
How do you acclimate yourself?
Man, I don't really understand large words. What do you mean?
Right, it's all Rocket Power for Kyle.
Yeah.
How did you fit in? How did you make new friends?
You know, that's actually a really interesting question too, because when I was growing up in the valley, like I said, like for the most part, all my friends were black, and I was like the only one that sounded like the way I do, because my mom is white, and I lived with my white grandparents who, you know what I'm saying? So I was pretty much like all I did was just talk white, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so I fit in, but I never really felt like all of me fit in. I felt like a portion of myself fit in.
Right.
And the other half of me I had to keep contained or I'd get roasted, you know what I mean? And then when I moved to Ventura, it's almost like I kind of like tapped into a now different side of myself, you know what I mean? And everybody talked how I talked, even though now I look different than everybody.
Right.
So it was kind of weird.
Yeah.
But in a way, I'd already been adapting to an environment that I am not the norm in. And then when I went to Ventura, I just did it again, just a different side of myself. And it almost felt like, it felt relieving though, randomly, to go do that and experience that, because it felt like the side of myself I had been containing my entire childhood in Northridge randomly just bursted out. And now I was like saying, you know what I'm saying, okie doke. I was just going off, like, because it was just, you know what I'm saying, it was so compressed for so long that I finally went out there and I just felt like, yeah, I felt like it could just all come out and I could finally talk the way I actually talked and not get made fun of it only because that's just how everybody else talked.
You have any siblings?
I do.
Older
brother, younger sister, and a little baby brother named Pickle.
Did
yeah, his name's Pickle. We're southern too. It's weird. It's weird. I had a weird
like real
weird
name
family.
Pickle.
His real name is Ian, but
okay.
Like,
I don't know if it was like Blanket Jackson, you know?
Yeah,
like,
yeah, oh, no, no, no. It's not. It's not. We're not off. You know what I mean? We're not walking down that street. But my grandma was very Southern, and yeah, so she said, he looks like a sugar pickle, whatever that means, and that's how it stuck, you know?
And
that,
so, I'm sorry, he's Pickle, like, in school, like...
Like, his friends are going to call him Pickle, like, we call him Pickle, like he's pretty much
when dinner's
Pickle.
Ready, like, where's Pickle?
Yeah. Where's Pickle? Yeah.
Wow.
Pickle. And he'll turn around and just come. That's how you're named in, like, Southern households.
He's in your phone as Pickle.
He ain't got a phone.
Oh.
He's a toddler. You know
oh,
I mean?
Oh, okay.
So right. He really is a baby brother.
Yeah, no, he just hit kindergarten.
Oh, congratulations. Wow.
Yeah. Thank you.
So,
we're going to find out if he's smart now. Now it's like we're going to start testing him.
Smart Pickle or not so smart Pickle?
Yeah. How's he going to act?
Smart Pickle yeah. or expressive Pickle?
Yeah, yeah. yeah.
You know? Individual Pickle.
That's right. Wait, but you have an older brother. Did he give you any heads up as to, like, how this transition should happen?
You know what? He was hell of excited. Yeah. I wanted to, you know, I was in eighth grade. I wanted to go to high school with my friends.
Oh, that's got
to
be the
like
worst.
That's like the whole
move.
Point, bro. It's devastating. Like, I, you know what I'm saying? All my friends, like when you're in eighth grade and you're getting ready to go to high school, you think you're about to go get girls for the first time. You think life is just about to be so awesome. I wanted to do it with my friends, but my brother had already been in high school in the Valley. And like, you know, like Nick Young went to Cleveland High School. You know
mm-hmm,
what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So
Swaggy Pickle.
Swaggy
yeah.
P mm-hmm. went Swaggy to like Pickle, yeah. the high school my brother went to and I went to for a summer school. So that kind of just shows you. I think what my brother knew is he'll never be the coolest person there. And that was the whole problem. Like, and he was already in, he was going into 11th grade. So he wanted to get out of there because he knew, damn, if I go to Ventura, there's all these white kids. I'm going to be on the football team. Mm. I'm going to be cool. That's what he was secretly thinking. And it worked. Like, before my brother went out there, bro, my brother was a nerd. Like, and if I can say that because he's my brother, but he knows this. He's all like, he's all tatted now and shit. But before then, he was a nerd. And then he went to Ventura High School and was really cool. Had all the hoes, was extra tatted. Everybody feared him. Everybody respected him. He was on the track team and shit. He was like randomly got cool.
And then
like worked.
And then you rolled up.
And I rolled up and joined the drama club. Oh. It was different. Like I tried the whole like sports thing for a second. It's actually really funny. Man, they tried putting me in every sport. It's like stereotypes are actually funny because they're so damn true. Like I went. I mean, they're not true, but it's just so true how true people think they are.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So I went to – this is actually a really funny story. I went to the – sorry, I'm blanking. What do you call it? The
high school.
High school. No, no, no. Yeah, I went to school. I went to school and counselor. Like
guidance counselor.
Yeah. But, like when you just first go to enrollment.
Okay.
When I went to the enrollment.
They were playing office. Taboo for a second.
Yeah, I was like, I ramble a lot.
Let's do charades on a podcast.
Yeah. So I went to start acting it out and just like wave my hands. I went to enrollment.
Don't tell the listeners what you're doing.
Yeah. Okay. Sounds like.
Huh.
Yeah.
I went to the enrollment office and literally they open up the conversation with, so you play any sports?
What?
I was like,
my God.
I was like, kind of. Like, I was like, I'm
why
not.
Why do you say that?
I know. Yeah. I mean, it was kind of funny, but. Me and my brother were literally expecting this. But we're such nerds that it was almost like we were about to transform into these jocks. And that's at least what we thought we were going to do.
It's like a movie.
Yeah. But, yeah, they're like, so you play any sports? And I'm like, not really. You know, I'm like, just like, I guess I did play football in there, but I sucked.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, I like, you know what I'm saying? Like, not really. And they're like, sure you don't like basketball? You never played basketball before? I was like, nah, I'm trash at basketball. I was like, I actually really suck. They're like, really? I don't know. You should believe in yourself. Maybe you could turn out to be
something.
Yeah, maybe
it's a confidence issue.
Yeah, exactly. I'm like, no, I genuinely suck at basketball. You feel me?
They're just like, well, try it. Try it for a couple years.
Literally. Yeah. No, they were trying to get me to like
here's
sign
uniform,
on the dotted
yeah.
line.
This
like,
is crazy.
Like,
now. Yeah, it's like, it's like damn near like Suge Knight was trying to sign me to a really forceful contract.
Right,
yeah. That's
right.
What it felt like.
Come to Ventura.
Yeah, like, come on. You never played basketball.
I know.
You might be good. Now it's just
more
like
De Niro. It really is your white side.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. Shit. But now then they wanted, and then after that I was like, I kind of played football a little bit. They're like, football, cool, for sure. You're going to go talk to the coach right now. Bring the coach in to come talk to me. And he's like, so you play football, huh? And I was like, In my head, I'm like, bro, you have no idea how you have no idea how trash I am. Like, they are selling you right now.
My God.
He was like, come to Britain. So I ended up playing football for 2 years and sucking. So I tried doing the whole, like, sports thing.
Wait, what was it about their pitch that made you say, like, yeah, right, I will be on the football.
No, it was just Kyle just can't say no. I already heard about this.
Exactly. Yeah. So the haircut. How many L's did the football team take? I'm getting haircuts by a 13-year-old. Yeah. So when I'm in the enrollment office and they're, like, trying to make me sign up for sports, I'm probably going to do it. And so I started playing football. And when you have you guys played football? Like, for
no. Look at me.
Shit?
Are you kidding no. me?
Okay.
I wanted to play football, but yeah, my parents were just like, nah.
Yeah, bro. I wish my mom would have said the same thing, but she actually did. And I just ignored her. But like,
so you say no to your mom?
Sometimes. Oh, yeah, yeah. That's hella just sometimes to my mom, though. But yeah. Tried playing football, sucked at football. I was just getting beat up literally every day. Like, and I was like, this is shitty. And then slowly but surely, my nerdy side was calling to me from the corner. Hey, come join the drama club. Come on. Come fuck with us, bro. Hey, you know you only 125 pounds, bro. There's no way you about to rush for more than 20 yards a game, maybe. Maybe 35 on a good day.
Meanwhile, all you could hear in your head was ringing.
Yeah, meanwhile, all I heard was the extra super sus thing about football, too, is people don't know, like, when you're getting tackled and shit, all you hear is it's just hella people falling on you grunting. Like, I'm like, this is not tight. This is not a game. This is pain and dudes breathing on me heavily and grunting at me
and
as,
like,
they forcefully fall on top of me.
Let me get into drama club.
Yeah. And then my awesome, beautiful teacher, Miss Rossiter, she just seen me in drama club. I was in there because I actually did do drama in – this is all an awesome story. It's just hard to say it all.
But
actually, when I was in eighth grade, luckily, it's almost like roles reversed, really. It's like my nerdy side came to my middle school and was like, one day you're going to be doing shit like this. Don't worry. And then, like, the wannabe jock side was like, nah, bro, you coming to Ventura and going to be a football player. When I was in Northridge, everybody else wanted to play football, but these theater people came.
Yeah.
And they started the first theater program at, like, my middle school. Like, we had never had some shit like drama or fucking, like, acting or nothing.
Yeah.
And so they wanted to start it, but nobody else in the class wanted. Everybody was like, bro, drama is so weak, bro. What are you doing, bro? Like, nobody wanted to do it. So I had to just write the whole play myself. And so I just gave myself the lead part. It was just like one big ass monologue.
Amazing.
The whole thing.
It sounds like a Saved by the Bell episode.
Kind of, yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. Like, two random people show up and they want you to just do this. Yeah, people in New York honk really aggressively.
Yeah, yeah. There's
Jesus.
Honking, there's
Wait, hold on.
Yeah.
Hold on, he's still going. Yo, that was like a 13-second honk. That was ridiculous. My bad, but yeah, so they wanted me to do that, and I just gave myself the lead part. So that's kind of how I got into it. And so when I went out there, I also was really trying, in that enrollment pitch, I was really trying to tell them, I kind of like drama. I like, no, you're not going to be an artist. Shut up. You're going to be an athlete. You know what I mean? And so, anyways, Miss Rossiter saved my life because she made me really get into drama. And then I started noticing, wow, I just get to fuck around all day. This is my funnest class. I just get to come in here and make fun of shit.
Yeah.
I get to roast people for a class, and I get an A on it.
Yeah.
And that was drama.
And then what about the plays, though? Are you in plays? Are you, like, doing...
Oh, in high school?
Yeah.
Oh, I was in mad plays.
Like what?
Did you get to kiss the girl?
I did. On multiple occasions, yeah. Actually. Twice.
That is multiple.
Yeah. Both times, it was actually Claire, my really good friend.
Shout out to Claire.
Claire Berge is actually Miss Rossiter's daughter.
Whoa.
And we always
Hold
had...
On.
Nah, it's not that. It's just, it's acting. And we always, for some reason, got the same, like,
you acted
the
like
paired
you
role.
Yeah,
we always
me,
had, like, the paired
for
role.
For me, love is acting anyway. So,
yeah. True. Damn true. Love is really good acting on a consistent basis.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So, yeah.
How's that for an inspirational message for
That's
Instagram?
Right.
Just picture me. Love is acting just on a consistent basis. But, yeah. Anyways. God, they be honking out here. I had drama with, and I always did it with Claire, and I was in mad plays. Yeah, the boyfriend. I was.
Were you the boyfriend?
Nah, I was. I was Bobby, the hip American from New York. because this was supposed to be set like in 1920s and black people just wasn't maneuvering like that. So they had to make me the dude from America.
Oh, man.
Because it was set in France. Oh, gotcha. But,
yeah, that would make more sense. I was like, the dude from America. I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
That's just basically what it was. They're like, we really need to put you in here, but you can't just be one of the random French people. Like, you got to be this dude. It sucks. But then I did Hairspray, and I got to be Seaweed. You guys ever seen Hairspray, the movie?
No.
So good.
I saw the original one.
Yeah, amazing. And so is the musical. It's just, like, fire. So I got to be Seaweed in Hairspray, which is cool as hell.
Mm-hmm.
I played Skelly Manor, a bum, just a homeless dude. And, like, everybody in this play called The Rhymers of Eldridge.
Okay.
And basically, the Rhymers of Eldridge are just a bunch of liars. You know, they cover themselves in this gloss or whatever. And I'm just Skelly, the bum that nobody likes, but I always speak the truth. And I end up dying. They shoot me. They shoot me in the end of that one. So. Yeah, that's what happens. It's, like, kind of fucked up when I think about it, actually. Yeah. Like, everyone I'm either, like, it's, like, some stereotypical role. And then that one, yeah, I got shot in the heart.
Yeah, what the fuck? Well,
that's sort of romantic, though.
Yeah, it definitely was. It was a romantic ending. Yeah. And then the other dude... my friend Joe, who actually is a really good actor, he played the knight in shining armor kind of. But I did those, and those were really fun. And I also did just mad improv group.
Oh, you did?
Yeah,
that's cool.
Improv group's amazing.
Yo, they did not have that at our high school.
Yeah.
No.
Improv? What the hell is happening on the Upper West
Side? I don't know. That's what it's kind of. It's damn near hard to focus. Like, somebody's out there having a honking battle. Like,
we had nothing ever happen. Like, ever. There was never any noise outside until Jazz Cartier came over.
Jazz was here.
And then now it's like everybody.
Oh, you guys had Jazz here?
Yeah. Like 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
Okay. You guys know Jazz is like my real good homie.
Oh, no, he's our dude.
Talk about it. We are actually in a group text together called Hennessy Rivers, which is our little collective.
I'm with
it. It's just a bunch of rappers who drink a lot of Hennessy.
Who else is in this group chat?
Cousin Stiz, Buddy, awesome. You guys know Buddy, and Zini. And Zini's just a cultivator of all the Hennessy drinkers. it's us, and we all just drink Matt Hennessy. And,
do you do it together?
It's just like kind of this unspoken truth that we know we're somewhere drinking Hennessy. You know what I mean? It's kind
of
like.
Do you guys send pictures of each other like drinking Hennessy?
Nah, they just send mad memes. Memes to each other. I could probably.
Strictly
people,
memes.
People won't be able to see it. But, yeah, we just send mad memes of us drinking Henny.
That's sort of dope. We have one where we bully a guy.
Wow. Just one dude?
Yeah.
So like, it's a group text with three people
It's, five or six.
Five of us, yeah.
And there's one person that's in there strictly to get bullied.
No, that dude's nowhere near this.
It's a private roast session.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah.
Okay.
But you're not allowed to talk about anything else but that.
How lame that guy is.
Yeah. The group text is about that dude. Yeah, it's so funny. And then sometimes, like, someone, like, adds something different. They're like, oh, Sean Spicer, do you see this, like, you know, press conference or whatever? And so it's, like, this dude and a little bit of Sean Spicer.
Okay. So you side roast somebody, but it's the majority of this one guy.
Then we got to change it back to the original thing.
You know what? I think I have one of those, too, but I can't name who the guy is.
Oh, of course.
Is it me?
No,
is it Susan?
I scheduled a fight with Susan. I'm beating Susan's ass sometime today.
She's 56.
She's 56, but
she tried her best to give you a fade. And
I know.
You're mad. No,
I'm just kidding. I would never harm Susan. I'm completely lying.
So okay, you're getting ready to
graduate.
Susan
would probably whoop my ass to keep it all the way.
I mean,
serious.
She's got scissors.
You're getting ready to graduate college or graduate high school.
Yeah.
Do you know what you're gonna do after high school?
Yeah,
what
man.
Was plan?
I had one of them really supportive families that were like,
oh, fuck that.
Yeah, you know, I had one of them really supportive families that were kind of just lied to you a little bit. Like, you know, when your mom's like, oh, you know.
Can do anything?
You're going to go to the moon and build a hotel. Just like.
Mom was lying.
Yeah. Well, yeah, mom. Yeah, your mom's probably like. People out there, your moms are going to lie to you sometimes. Or you're probably going to have one of them stern-ass moms who keeps it 1,000 with you. But that kind of fucks you up, too. You end up. Being a janitor. But my mom would just always tell me, like, just my whole family was always like, oh, you're gonna be famous. Oh yeah, Kyle's gonna be famous. He's gonna be a singer. Like, cause I was just always singing. So I had no plan B. I didn't even know I didn't even think about a plan B. I didn't think about college. I didn't think about nothing. I didn't even have a Twitter. And I was talking about, I'm gonna just be famous. I'm gonna just be a singer. Like, so that was like the
you're walking the stage and you're like, oh,
My yearbook quote is "See you when I'm famous," with hell misspelled with hella exclamation points.
That's
so like
awesome.
Yeah, that just shows you like
I promise
that
you,
describes that whole
mine
thing.
Was so forgettable. It was one of those things where it was like, oh, the deadline's coming up and I have to look in a book of quotes and find one. And like wow. It was okay, but I so wish that it wasn't like that.
Yeah,
it was awesome.
Mine was deadline too. The person was actually standing over my shoulder, like, you need to put something in now or we're gonna pick it for you. And it was gonna be like, go VHS or something, like Cougar Pride or some shit like that.
Your school was VHS? Oh
yeah, VHS.
Ventura High School.
Yeah, Ventura High
VHS,
School.
VHS though.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
But oh, that is kind of tight. I never even thought of that.
Yeah.
I just thought about that right now.
You're so young.
Yeah. Yeah, I know.
You don't know what VHS?
If it was DVD or like,
Blu-ray.
Streaming.
Oh,
yeah,
right.
Yeah, exactly.
Damn.
Wait,
streaming.
What were you guys? What the
we're the Cougars.
The Ventura Cougars.
Ventura Cougars.
Mm-hmm. Susan's a Cougar.
Susan is a Cougar. And the thing is, we kind of had a couple, you know, it was kind of Cougars in there. And the Cougars, not that they were trying to prey on kids, because that's sus, but they were just, we had some hot teachers.
Okay. See you when I'm famous.
See you when I'm famous.
Did anybody take that like the wrong way and be like, yo, you arrogant son of a bitch?
Everybody, well, I mean, because that's just my personality, I feel like, is just like, I don't know. I don't mean anything in a disrespectful way, but it's just like my brain doesn't function. It doesn't let me contain myself.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I just say shit. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So I say exactly how I'm feeling. And in the moment,
that's
when
like
they
Donald
ask
Trump.
Me, what do you, I know, kind of, that's scary. When they were like, when they asked me, what do you want to leave your class with? What's the last, what do you want them to know about you going into the rest of your life? Yeah, exactly. Going into the rest of your life. And I think about it. And I wanted to put this really poetic, like deep saying. And then they were like, you need to, but do it in 10 seconds. And I was like, see you when I'm famous. Misspelled, hella exclamation points. Like, it just looks like I did it drunk. like,
well,
see you when I'm famous.
Hennessy Rivers?
Yeah. Now, I wasn't Hennessy Rivers yet then. I was like Juice Box.
McGee.
Guys, yeah.
Wait, what was your high school senior photo like?
Me with the McDonald's lineup.
Stop.
Yeah,
what?
Like, yeah, I didn't have a fresh lineup. It's just me. I got the overgrown lineup, and I'm like, see you when I'm famous.
Wait,
misspelled. Hella screaming.
Back then?
Man, it's just out.
Pickle?
It's got to be it's probably got to be the shape of my head or something. I'm
no,
notoriously
don't take it on
bad.
Yourself. That's somebody else's fault.
Yeah, but it's,
I mean, really, it's your fault for not saying no, but it's somebody
yeah,
else's fault.
That's what it is for sure. Now, I remember that day specifically, I was driving to the barbershop trying to get my hair cut hella quick, and I didn't have enough time, and I had to choose whether to skip the senior thing or just do it with no haircut. And I was looking at myself in the mirror, and I'm like, if people make fun of my haircut, fuck them. I don't care. I'm going anyways.
See you when I'm famous.
See you when I'm famous, misspelled. And so I just went over there and did it in McDonald's lineup. See you when I'm famous. Now I'm here.
Legendary. Yeah. Legendary.
Yeah. Thank you.
So, all right. So you're walking across that stage, and the goal is next to be famous. How do you get from that stage to being famous?
Man, well, that process actually, damn, I say it peaking. Yeah. Yeah, that process actually started in high school. And that's what even made it funnier is like when I was in high school, when I was 17 is when I bought my first. I mean, I've been rapping my entire life up until that point. I was always trying to go do shows. My dad would take me to all these like studios and shit in Hollywood. People Whoa. Wouldn't fuck with me, and I would just repeatedly do it over and over my entire life.
So you were like doing auditions and all that?
I did like talent.
Were you like
ABC
dancing
auditions?
For like nickels and spinning
on the
signs and yeah,
top hat? Yeah. Like,
that was the character that he played
in the Rhymers of Eldritch. Yeah. Yeah, where they shoot me in the heart. And yeah, shit.
That actually, did you have like a snake and a hat?
I'm lying about the play. That was just drawn off a real life story.
Yeah. It's
somebody
all
shot me for doing a bad street performance.
Yeah. It was, you know, backstory. He's a method actor. I got you. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So, So I've been like working on trying to make music happen for a really, really long time.
Wait, but you go to the studios. Your dad drops you off at the
studios.
He
drops me off at the studios, and just people are smoking weed, and it just be like, oh, I got to record this kid. Come on, bro. Hurry up, bro. Like, that's the studio. Like, the whole studio from the movies is not, like, real studios in Hollywood.
Mm-hmm.
And especially the ones I could afford to go to, these really small, shitty ones that was, like, my dad's homie that, like, they smoked weed together with. Like,
yeah.
It's just a bunch of, like, people with broken dreams in these little shitty studios that are hot. So,
I mean, such
the
is
vibe
LA.
Is not, yeah. That's the real gritty. Like, I feel like I experienced the real grittiness of L.A. When I was, like, 13, 14 years old, having to go to these studios, getting dropped off by myself and, like, trying to, like, be a rapper. Like, the vibe in there is so, like, stressful and broken and hurt that, like, I kind of discovered I'm never going to make a good song here. And it was weird. I was a little kid, and I knew, like, I'm talented. I was like, I knew I, like, can do this. But I also knew I will never make nothing hot in here. It's like, I know dope shit. I listened to the enthusiasm in a rapper's voice, and I knew they didn't make that feeling like this. Mm. There's no way. And I didn't know where they made it or how they made it. I just know they had to feel better in this when they were doing it. There's no way that they sound so cool,
yeah,
and so happy and so good to be them. There's no way they sitting in the room with people like, hurry up, bro. Smoking hella struggle weed. I was like, that's not the vibe. So when I was like 17 and I was in my last year of high school, I dropped this mixtape called Senior Year. Mm-hmm. And I bought
imaginative.
I know. That's real creative. Yeah. I bought my when I was a senior.
Yeah.
Like, my senior year of high school, I dropped a mixtape called Senior Year.
You're like Adele.
Yeah. I know. 25. Yeah. 26.
Exactly.
30.
Yeah.
Fucking
come on.
Retired. That's what I
mean. Yeah. Get a goddamn.
But when I was Seventeen. I bought my own studio equipment because there was this dude I was working with named Ricky Andez, and he stopped wanting to work with me because he was kind of on that same type of shit. And I guess, like, artists need to know that, like, at least for me, like, I have kind of like a nasally, like, not the coolest voice, so I have to really learn to I have to do a lot to make it sound good on a song.
Yo,
you know what I mean?
We should have a group chat, the three of us, yeah, for like nasally, like, annoying voices.
Yeah, yeah. So it's harder for it's like we stand out on songs. But it's harder for us to get in that pocket and shit because our voice is like this loud-ass instrument that's just out of tune.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So it takes – I knew it was going to take me mad time to develop my voice, and people, producers just didn't want to take that time. So I was like, I need my own equipment. I'm not giving up. I'm going to make my own shit. It's going to be trash at first, but one day it will be good. And so when I was 17, I started recording myself, and then I made this mixtape called Senior Year. And it was kind of hot. And then I was passing it around high school.
Free. Mm-hmm.
Free, of course.
Physical copies.
Physical copies, yeah.
You're burning them yourself?
Burning them. My homie Mitch was burning them. My homie Mitch, shout out Mitch, he shot all my first videos and burned my first mixtape off his computer. His parents bought them.
Labels on the CDs?
Or just marker. Written? Just marker.
Those are real ones. Yeah.
Exclusive.
Yeah. Exclusive. And I used to go by the rap name K.I.D.
K.I.D.
K.I.D., yeah.
Terrible for searching online.
Yeah, oh, well, super hard.
Kyle was worse, but yeah. Well,
so, you know, randomly, Kyle ended up working. K.I.D. was impossible. Yeah. But
So what did K.I.D. stand for?
It stood for Kyle is Determined, but I always tried to keep it like this big-ass secret, like it was this really mysterious, deep thing, and it really wasn't.
Well, who's K.I.D.?
I know.
Who's K.I.D.?
Like,
what does it mean?
Handing out the mixtapes.
Yeah, yeah.
And everybody's like, what's K.I.D.? And you're like, Kyle is Determined. And it's like, oh, wait. K.I.D., I don't know.
It means kindness King is divinity.
But yeah,
what was I saying? Sorry, I blank a lot. Okay, no. Make my own mixtape. And then me and Mitch, randomly, and it's really weird to say, but like the first thing I ever did that like went viral or like got me cracking was I was actually cracking as K.I.D. kind of for a YouTube rapper.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I like a couple videos with like a million views each on them.
Oh, okay.
Like,
oh, yeah, no,
I know it's weird, yeah, but it's like I had to die and come back to life damn near. But right. What got that cracking is I covered this Drake song.
Right. Headlines.
Yeah. Headlines.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Heard of it.
Okay, yeah, yeah. That song. That little one. Yeah. Yeah. I covered that shit. I was just really good at like pimping the internet, kind of, you know what I mean? Just finding loopholes, being
buying
like,
views.
Yeah, you know, buying views, buying followers, you know, fake flexing on the gram, shit like that.
Kyle was determined.
Kyle was determined to fake it till he made it.
That's what our group chat should be.
That's right. Yeah.
Y'all just roasting me privately.
Yeah, it's just me and Eric. You're not even in it. With a little bit of like, Sean Spicer.
And like Sean and like Jason are in it too, and like all my homies. But yeah, Kyle is determined. Is that what I was talking? Yeah. So I'm
senior year
finding loopholes in the internet.
Yeah.
So I'm like adding everybody. I would go. This is how much of the annoying rapper at the high school I was.
No, don't be that guy.
Oh, I was him.
No,
I embodied him
one by one.
Like I followed
at Two Dope Boys at Not Right.
Oh
at,
no, but not to the blogs. I annoyed. Oh. I preyed on my
right the real fans.
Kids.
Yeah.
Oh, you
the people around me.
Oh, like, okay.
The
kids at the high school.
Yeah.
Not mad at that.
What I did is I went on Facebook and I looked up every high school, like Buena High School. Buena sucks. I looked up like Buena High School and I added everybody that went to Buena High School as a friend on Facebook. And the moment that they accepted it is when they messed up because I just started spamming their shit with all my videos. And like half of them hated me, but I did it to Buena.
Yeah,
I did it to Oxnard.
Hated, yeah. No.
I did it to Santa Barbara.
I would have blocked you.
I did it to
so
St. Bonnie.
Yeah.
Like, every mad people blocked me. Mad people cussed me out. Mad people just hated me.
Posting on
but,
their timeline.
Yeah, I posted hella shit on their timeline.
On the wall or whatever.
And then, but all of them ended up knowing about me.
Right.
So I was the annoying rapper kid. And I was passing out mixtapes and shit. And I said, see you when I'm famous for my... Oh, people probably were roasting me. I just didn't know about it. But yeah, all that process kind of got my career going, though. Me, like, kind of just blatantly, like, with no reason believing in myself like that and just thinking I was this huge rapper, got me, like, my first initial fan base as KID. And it's weird. Some people don't know that Kyle is KID, but we sound the same. You know what I'm saying?
Yo,
we
like are the same KID's person. Flow.
Yeah, they're like, oh, this guy's biting KID's flow. And I'm like, have you seen a fucking music video? We are the same nigga. Like,
but also, so when did Super Duper Kyle come into the picture?
So Super Duper was KID's, like, collective.
And which is you.
Which is me. And yeah. Super Duper. Yeah, I talk about KID. Yeah. Super Duper was my, like, it was my first mixtape, too. Mm. Well, there was senior year and all that shit, but my first, like, I had this concept album for this mixtape, and it was going to be this really trash pop mixtape over 80s beats. Mm. And me and my friend Dave Kappa made it together.
That's cool.
Yeah. Don't listen to it, though. All right. Okay.
Cool in theory.
Yeah. Now, and it was really awesome because it was my first time experimenting, and, like, I randomly will make, like, a really, like, kind of, like, pop-sounding song now, or I'll, like, do some weird artsy, like, singing shit where I'm just, like, just doing some weird shit, and I only do it because I made that mixtape. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so that's where Super Duper was always around.
Yeah.
So my Twitter name was still Super Duper Kyle.
Right.
Back then.
Yeah.
Even when I was KID, it was Super Duper Kyle. But,
it's so confusing.
Yeah,
I know, and the way I explain it is hella confusing, too. Because I'd just be rambling. But
you're out there pushing mixtapes.
Y'all should damn near cut this podcast together and make it make sense. Like, just chop
it. We're not airing any of this.
It's all going to be sirens.
Like, just horns.
Horns, yeah. But, okay, so you're passing out mixtapes and you're recording regularly. Do you have a job at the time? Where are you working?
I worked at Vans for hella long. And then I worked as a gas meter reader. I worked for the gas company.
Door to door.
Door to door, backyard to backyard.
Oh, my God.
And it was
meeting a lot of people.
I mean, I didn't meet no people.
I met mixtapes then.
Like, that's what I'm saying.
I met zero people. I met hella dogs. And they don't want nothing to do with mixtapes. They strictly want to bite you in the ass. So I spent all day dodging dogs, like literally hurdling fences, getting bit on the leg.
Ideally, like, you're just supposed to go and, like, fucking read the meter, right?
Punch it into this little, like, big ass brick, like, device.
Right.
But I'd have to, like, go into, I'd have to go into backyards so often because the meter is always in the backyard.
Yeah.
And it'll tell you, like, shit will literally read, like, scary ass dog back here. Like, don't go in there.
Really? They have, like, notes?
Yeah. They have notes for each thing. It'll be, like, big ass Rottweiler. You know what I'm saying? Rottweiler's name is Fuzzy. Like, you know what I'm saying? Fuzzy likes certain shit, like salami.
The last gas guy really cased out the joint.
Oh, they do, bro, because you can really get hurt doing this shit, like seriously hurt. So I was dodging dogs, stepping in dog shit all day, and I would come home and make these happy ass raps, and that was like my day-to-day thing.
Crazy.
And then I met DJ Carnage early. Carnage is like the best A&R in the game, by the way. He literally knew about Makonnen in like 2012.
Yeah.
He knew about me first when I was still stepping in dog shit.
Wait, you or KID?
KID.
Or...
He knew about KID.
Okay, cool. Gotcha.
And because he had met my manager and longtime friend, Nolan. Mm-hmm. And Carnage met me and brought me out to LA. And that's kind of how I got started doing everything as Kyle.
Mm-hmm.
And I made the song called Keep It Real with Carnage. And that was like, I'm giving y'all the whole story.
Let's do
that
it.
Was like the whole transition. High school, senior year, dropping my own mixtapes.
Make
Super Duper, dodge dog shit,
meet
DJ Carnage.
Wow.
And then drop Keep It Real. And that kind of like was a resurgence of like my next, like, you know what I'm saying, like viral, quote unquote, piece of content.
But did you feel like you had fallen off from when Headlines dropped to that
point? No, I think the Ascension was like
pretty solid.
But I'm just saying it's weird because people, like, I brought a small amount of the KID fan base over, but, like, if you check tweets or if I tweet, like, a KID song, like, probably, I would say, like, I feel like 15% of my fan base knows about the KID thing, and the rest of them see me as Kyle. And it's so weird because the KID shit, I'm not saying it was cracking or not, but the KID shit I had like a million views on like multiple videos.
Yeah.
I like kind of already had a career
yeah.
going. And then I just put that on pause and did this, and none of these people came with me.
Right. So today, you know? If you perform, how many KID songs do you pull out of the vault just for like sometimes, those fans who fuck with it?
Like, yeah, it's like every once in a while.
You'll just do headlines and be like.
And now I've actually never performed headlines, and I don't think I will, but I'll do this song. I did Lemonade. I used to do this Lemonade cover. Because I saw Super Duper Lemonade by Big Sean, and that, right. you know mm-hmm. what I'm saying?
Which is amazing.
Only made sense.
Yeah, right. yeah.
And then I do that's a really good song, by the way.
By the
way,
good. I got to be really honest here. I'm being very vulnerable right now.
So yeah, vulnerable. Be vulnerable. By the way, is it okay if he takes photos or not?
No.
Okay. Blur my face out.
Yeah. I just wanted to make sure.
42 minutes in, no, don't do it. Right. I think I like the Sean version better than the Gucci version.
I mean, you have to. I totally agree with you.
Group chat?
Yeah, okay. Let's not say this on air. I mean, obviously you have to give all the credit to Gucci Mane because he originated it, but
yeah.
the Big Sean version is definitely my favorite version.
Amazing.
It's like the most amount of bars I'd ever heard fit into a song.
It's so good.
Period. The one where he's like, I just give him line after line after line after line after line after line.
Barcode.
Yeah, I was just like, Jesus.
Amazing.
Like, I'd never heard that amount of bars. So that made me want to do that, and I did like this 4-minute song to Lemonade. And I'll perform that every now and then, and majority of people won't get it. And then I'll do this one called Lexicon. That was the last KID song.
Yeah.
So it, like, crossed over the most. So, like, some people still know that. And they think, oh, if you know Lexicon, you know everything about KID, even though it's, like, 2 years into me being
right.
KID.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Where do you think your most diehard fans come from?
Man.
Oxnard.
For sure. Oxnard, hey, the thing is, y'all don't know Oxnard is hip hop as fuck. Like,
really?
Oxnard is so hip hop, bro. Like, you know, Madlib is from Oxnard.
No.
You didn't know that?
No.
Yeah.
Now we do.
Yeah.
All right.
So there.
Facts.
Yeah.
That, like, explains it. Like, yeah. that's enough.
Right. Yeah.
Like, Oxnard.
Have you
like,
ever met him?
No, I've never met him.
All right, well.
I mean, he's just so legendary.
Yeah.
And if he's not from Oxnard, he's definitely lived there before. Like, I don't want like some hip hop years to be like, actually, he was born in here,
right?
Yeah. And he was transported
you're either
here.
Northridge or you're
yeah,
yeah.
He goes to the in and out by the yeah.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah, yeah. And like Anderson was always playing bars and shit like in Ventura.
Oh really?
Like yeah, when I was growing up, like he's older than me, so he was already like doing all that stuff. But like he was around there, so it's like 805 randomly has mad talented people.
So, wait, did you take every gig that was available to you, or are you just going to like, every stage?
Oh, my God. If you like, flipped your coffee table, if you had, like, some boxes you could stack together.
You were there.
And, like, yeah. And you gave me, like, a little cup I could, like, amplify my voice with. I was
like a horrible gig.
Yeah, you know, I've done some really shitty gigs before.
What's
like,
your worst one?
Ah, man. I have to say the absolute worst gig I ever did. When I was in high school, I was doing this shit called the school tour, which is really just like kind of like.
Imagine it in
yeah,
name.
Right. Yeah, I know. Yeah, I know. So, yeah.
It's almost like you were paid by the school. You
know, it wasn't my tour, though. I mean, it wasn't my conceptualized thing. I had to pay money. I had to pay like $1,000-some.
Already terrible.
Yeah. To get on this tour
mm-hmm.
where they went around to mad like schools and you got to perform at like an assembly. So it was kind of cool. At least for the time, but
did you
then they
that,
also
like,
did super.
Don't smoke cigarettes, like they're bad.
Nah, never. What? Oh my God, are you kidding me? My favorite rapper was Jadakiss. I was on some whole other shit, but I did the worst show by far. They were also very janky. It's like very janky promoters, so they just pulled up outside this shoe store called Shoe City. And,
imagine the name.
Yeah, I know. Yo, California, we really gotta figure it out. But yeah, we're outside of Shoe City. And literally, there was just like 10 angry people waiting to get inside of Shoe City that had to listen to me rap. And I was just like standing eye level with them. Like damn near, and it was like almost like on a slope. So they were like damn near like a little bit taller than me. And I just had to like rap to them, like no microphone. I just like played a song. Yeah, so I'm out in front of Shoe City rapping and y'all don't give a shit. And that was like. Definitely by far the worst gig.
That's
ever
one of
the,
yeah.
I just felt like I was gonna get punched the whole time. I felt threatened. I felt like at some point in time somebody's gonna sleep me. Like
yeah.
I was just waiting for it. I was more preparing like for a fight than I was. I like rapped with my hands up, like not because I was a part of the swag, just strictly because I felt
someone
the danger
just
coming.
A fucking shoe on the shelf.
Yeah,
and like in the way.
I'm just in the way, and they weren't allowed to go inside
giving
until
them
I was
bars.
Done. Yeah, giving them all these bars that
I
they
hope,
weren't.
I hope the ride after that wasn't like terrible, like going home just like what the fuck.
Oh yeah, yeah. I mean nah, because then again, my mom was just like, "You did so good," and I'm just like, "Yeah, mom, I avoided death. I guess that was great."
Okay, so you're bubbling, you're doing crazy views online.
Yeah.
When is the point where you feel like things just like escalated like a hockey stick? Like,
I think it was definitely when I moved to LA. I moved to downtown, and me and Carnage were roommates.
LA, which is having a resurgence and like people. Really
I lived on Skid Row. I was on Skid Row.
I believe it's called Little Tokyo.
Little Tokyo was the nice part. I was literally on Skid Row. Like, you know, most people, it's like, oh, I live next to Skid Row, and they live in Little Tokyo.
Right.
Or they live down on, like, 12th. Mm. Like, I lived on 7th. 7th in San Pedro.
Yo, listen.
Where you all like, know what I'm talking
don't
about.
Don't leave
like,
your no. car. Yeah.
Yo, we have some friends who live down in downtown, right?
Yeah.
So, and we were staying in, like, I don't know, somewhere in...
the West Side?
What's that?
West Side? Fairfax?
No. We were staying over in the Fairfax area. And so we get in the car late one night, and we're going to drive down to go see our friends downtown.
Yeah.
And we get on the highway. And, like, we listened – we just – you know, we're huge, like, just hip-hop guys. So we listened to all the hip-hop we had, like, on our phones back then, right?
Yeah.
This is before, like, Spotify or whatever. And so we've gone through everything. We're just like, let's listen to something different. So we throw on Hall & Oates, right? And we're going through all Hall & Oates, speeding down the highway.
Windows down.
Windows down, right? Enjoying
y'all
ourselves.
Really, y'all are really in it.
Singing like fucking Rich Girl and whatever, right?
Uh-huh.
And we're just going.
And then we get.
And we pull off.
Yeah, we pull off the highway and we get onto whatever that was, like First or whatever.
Yeah.
And we're driving past. Like,
and y'all
all
went
these
into
tents.
The shit.
Yeah, but like the windows are down and we're playing Private Eyes.
Yeah, and we're just like turning it like way down. Yeah. Like,
y'all are
like,
saying.
Oh.
Rob me, please. Rob us. Come.
We're like waving.
Yeah. Oh, fam. They hate that shit, too. They do not want you waving at them.
No, we were not waving.
Okay, they don't want you waving at them. They don't want you filming them. They don't want you, like, trying to get their attention. They don't want you to take a picture of them. Like, this is the real shit, bro.
Yeah.
Like,
but for real, you were living down there.
I lived on 7th and San Pedro. 7th and San, well, 8th, on the block of 8th and 7th, San Pedro.
Did your family know this?
Yeah.
Man.
Well, see, the thing is, I went out. I'm like, I'm about to go work with Carnage. I'm about to go live with Carnage. Like, I'm about to be on. You know what I'm saying? And then reality set in once again. And I was in this apartment with me, DJ Carnage, this dude named CP. He's an amazing singer. He's actually from New York. He was a part of this group a long time ago called One Room. And you guys probably don't know what that is. Mm. But, yeah.
I thought One Room was the living situation with you and Carnage.
With me and Carnage, CP. Yeah. Now, it's like, you know, we have 4 rooms. But it was still in the trap.
Wait, what had Carnage done up to that point?
He had just done Big Spender.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like I'm revealing too much about Carnage's life down there. But yeah, he had just done Big Spender.
Mm-hmm.
And that was like his thing at the time. And I remember him telling me, he was always telling me like, he had been making like dubstep stuff or just house EDM stuff.
Mm.
And this is before EDM was like a thing, like a big ass thing.
Mm-hmm.
Or it was a big thing, but you know what I mean? Before it was what it is now. And everybody was just like, why are you making EDM music? And he's like, you guys are dumbasses. Like, watch, this shit about to pop off, and I'm about to be a fucking millionaire. And he was, like, really saying that, and lo and behold,
See You When I'm Famous.
It really happened. He did a See You When I'm Famous to us, just with house songs and shit. So I remember he was always playing me that stuff. But, yeah, I lived with him, and he, like, kind of put me under his wing, under the wing in Skid Row.
Yeah.
And he made Keep It Real. And that's when I made Silver Platter, and I made all these, like, first big songs. Well, like, big songs is, like, Kyle. You know, under a new name. And, like, I feel like that is when I really saw my career just become a serious thing. It was when I left home, went into the thick of it, would wake up every day to a dude taking a man dump, like, in front of I've walked out, like, from my first breath of fresh air of the day and just seen, like...
Oh, Skid Row, sure.
Like, dude really just taking a man dump. Like, full... Man shit, animal shit, two different things. Two different sizes, two different smells, two different textures. It's like...
Yeah.
You've really had horrific. Some shit, yeah.
Yeah, bro. I've seen people like...
Wait, what's worse?
Sticking needles in their toes.
What's a worse smell? That shit or the terrible weed from those studios you went to in Hollywood?
Man, probably the weed, because that shit smelled just like broken dreams. Like, so, and that shit hurts a little bit to smell. I need to damn near go cry real quick.
But this recording situation, were you... Did you have a setup in the apartment?
No, I didn't have a setup. That gets deeper. That happens when Smile starts happening. But that's my second project.
Mm-hmm.
But now me and Carnage both worked with this management company called Indie Pop,
mm-hmm.
and so that's initially why I moved, because I was living with Carnage, working with Carnage first, and then Carnage was his managers were Indie Pop. This is a management company. He got me the same thing with Indie Pop. So they had a studio that was a block up, like when it got okay, where right. it wasn't like scary that much anymore.
Yeah.
And so that's why I recorded all that stuff in. Yeah, that was like the first time I'd been in like a nice quality studio, really. Mm-hmm. I worked with Ted in Oxnard, who had a fire studio. Shout out, Ted. I love you. But
Oxnard's
hip hop as hell, bro. I'm telling you. Like, if Anderson .Paak and Madlib aren't enough to be like, Oxnard is hip hop as shit, like.
I mean, I'm not going to be the one that's like, Oxnard is not hip hop. But
yeah, I know. Yeah. No, Oxnard, no. But, yeah.
Come to Westchester, bro.
Bro, you fucking kidding me, bro? Come to Pennsylvania or something. But, yeah. Sorry, I'm rambling. Carnage. Yeah, we worked at Indie Pop, which was a block up.
Yeah.
And, yeah, that's where I made my first, that's where I made Beautiful Loser. And that was the first time I felt like, wow, I'm, like, taking time to really, like, make something not trash. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's where I felt like, okay, this is real now. You know what I mean? I felt like I'm finally taking this serious beyond the point of just being in my grandma's living room.
Yeah.
And, like, I felt like that's the first time, like, as a songwriter, as the beats I got, I just felt like, wow, I'm actually making quality music now. I didn't think I was the greatest in the world, but I was like, I'm making comparable music now.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
And so that was like a really serious like time.
That's awesome.
Yeah, Beautiful Loser era.
Yeah.
How was that?
Wait, so when was, I'm getting like all mixed up in terms of.
I know, because I mix shit up. Like sometimes it's like certain days I'm really concise and I can boom, boom, boom. And the other days I just start going, oh, when I was a child.
Well, no, I but had this, a friend. This is actually on me, because when did you, you did a song with Kehlani. When was that? Is that this era?
Yeah, that was recorded on Skid Row too.
Okay.
Yeah, Lonnie. I was
She came through?
She came through, yeah. Wow. The crib.
Yeah.
Cause that's so after Beautiful Loser, the office that I was working at, they started having way more like they started renting their studios out and shit, the management company. So I didn't have the studio like that. So I had to then move the studio equipment to my living room in Skid Row, which had terrible acoustics. And me and that's where I just met Lonnie around that time too, like 2013, 2014. And I met her through my homie Zini.
Okay.
She was friends with Zini, and she had like a song, she had one song out. It was about summer and it was fire.
Yeah.
And yeah, I never met her before, but I remember the night I met her was at Zini's house. He had like a party and she was just sitting there looking cool as hell, and he's like, yo, this is my homie Kehlani. I was like, oh, what's up? And she was mad chill.
Yeah.
Like, oh, you're super chill, like you hella easy to talk to. And we just became like kind of friends through that. And I felt like we just like kind of clicked as people. There was just something about us in that moment in time, like where she was at with her career and where I was at with my career, and just us as people and what we wanted to do. Even though we do two totally types of different music, we just like connected. And so that's how we became friends. And then, yeah, she pulled up to Skid Row, bro, and like blew my mind with how fire of a songwriter she is, how great of a singer she is, and how fast she does this shit.
Well, how fast, like, was it?
Hella fast. Yeah. Oh my God. Yeah. She'll write fire. She doesn't, you know, like most people can freestyle a mumble rap like hella quick and it's just like, oh, it's a tight song. Like, she's doing this, like, you know what I'm saying, this superstar quality shit, these real deep songs, like boom.
Yeah.
Like writes it boom right then and there. Sorry, Mom.
Okay.
Gotta call you back, Mom. yeah, but she does these things like mad fast. And I was just blown away. I was like, oh my God, you're incredible. And I was just like, you know, you're gonna be mad famous. Like, hella soon.
See you where you are.
Yeah. Like, yeah, like hella soon you're about to be out of here. And
did you feel the same way about G-Eazy?
Yeah, but see, the thing is, when I met, and see, that's wow, I skipped that whole portion too. So Carnage and G-Eazy have been homies forever. And so I remember the first show I did when I was in LA is I opened up for G-Eazy at the Roxy. They let me open up because I met G through Carnage, and he was super cool too. But I kind of met G on the beginning of his rise. You know what I mean? Like,
before he was James Dean.
He was already doing the James Dean swag. He had been doing that, but before he turned James Dean superstar level, that's when I first met him.
But after he was white.
Yeah, okay. Exactly. When he had just turned white. I met him just right around then.
You knew a lot of G-Eazys when he moved to Ventura.
Ventura had Matt. Now, see, the difference is Ventura had... This is why Ventura had no G-Eazys, is because Ventura has no black people.
Right.
And G-Eazy grew up around black people because he's from the Bay. Yeah, so you know what I'm saying? Like, they had no clue. Like, when I got to Ventura, bro, they were bumping Tupac like it was brand new.
Right.
I swear to God. Not even on a nostalgic.
But you were there in 1993, so it was like
Yo, not even in this is not, bro. This is like 2008. 8.
Nah, yeah.
This is like not even a nostalgic way. It's not like, oh, I bumped Tupac. It's like, oh my God, have you heard of rap? And I'm just like, Jesus, y'all are late out here. So, but
wait, yeah. What were, sorry, to go back to that, what were you like listening to when everybody else was listening to Tupac?
Man, I was, you know, the thing is, I was from Northridge, like was a suburb of LA, so this is fresh in the jerking era. So mm-hmm. like,
oh my God.
I was
new
slapping
boys. New boys.
Well, even deeper than that, I was slapping YG. Mm-hmm. Cause y'all don't know, but YG stems from the jerking.
Yeah,
movement.
No, yeah, for sure. Yeah.
Like I was slapping YG in like 2000. Oh, you do? Yeah, you do know. You yeah, do know. Sorry, my bad. Usually people just don't know that side of YG. They right, don't know yeah. I'm Your Pusher, and they don't know Fuck It Up, Girl. Go right. on, Fuck It Up, Girl. Right. You know, they don't know all these classic songs.
Yeah.
So I was listening to him. I was listening to New Boys. I was listening to you know, Cliff Savage. I was listening to a lot of just
See,
this
now, that's
LA
too deep for me.
Yeah, a lot of this yeah. LA music at the time. And so I came out there playing that. I literally, my brother showed people in Ventura what the Reject was, which is the jerking dance.
Yeah, yeah,
nobody
yeah.
had seen it before. Like, we literally introduced all that. So we were kind of cool as hell out there.
Yeah, your brother with the tattoo.
Yeah, he
time.
Got
yeah.
tats. He yeah, started yeah. showing people how to yeah. dance. He turned into, like, the dude.
What's his name?
Chris.
Shout out to Chris.
Or it's Ugly. Ugly
shout,
is actually.
Shout out to Ugly.
Yeah.
yeah.
It's his rap name. I'm telling you, bro, in, like, Southern houses, you get... Midwestern houses, you get named.
What a
fast.
Bummer.
Yeah. Yeah, he kind of brought that upon himself, though. He's like, I'm uniquely gifted living young.
Here we go.
And we're like, all right, for sure.
Ugly.
And I was KID.
Yeah.
That was my follow-up.
And KID, yeah.
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 yeah. So, yeah, I
very
forgot where I was at. Yeah, no. Very, very complicated.
Well, man. We were talking about Kehlani. We were talking about
G-Eazy.
But, like, so...
Oh yeah, my bad. No, you actually you ask a question because I will just ramble. So please just ask me something specific so I can just answer that.
No, I was gonna say so like, you know, so you link up with Kehlani, you guys shoot the video.
Mm-hmm.
How was that to shoot the video with her?
It was awesome. Oh my God, because my friend Brick, who is actually my like DJ, he's actually like one of my like main photographers. He's and he makes mad beats.
Hold on.
Too.
DJ
photographer. This is a real Renaissance man.
No, what's he great at though?
Yeah. That's the thing. Brick says he says he's good at
cutting
everything.
Hair.
Yeah. He says he's good. His whole phrase. He always says he's like great at everything, but he's a master at none.
Okay.
That's what he says. So
right.
he says he wants to master something. But now he's literally a really good DJ, really good photographer, a really good producer. And he be rapping and shit too.
Oh shit.
But yeah, me and Brick, we the video director. He directed that video. Him and this dude named James McCloud. They actually both shot Kehlani's album cover recently.
Oh man.
Oh the
yeah.
Sexy Sweet Savage.
Yeah, they Whoa. Shot that. So That's them dope. Two, they directed the yeah. music video.
Oh, they do a good job.
Yeah, yeah. Now they're good. Now they're raw. So yeah, they directed that and she was just so chill. Like, I don't know, bro. Like when you get to know her mad much, you're just like, wow, I can't believe somebody like that talented and just looks that amazing too, you know what I'm
yeah,
saying
yeah.
like I can't believe somebody like you is not a mean person, like you're so nice,
right?
You know what I mean? Or not even mean, but just not cocky, none of that. She's just like really nice.
Where were you when you found out that you were on the Rap Caviar playlist on Spotify?
I can't remember. Oh yeah I do. My bad. That sounds assholeish. No, I totally remember. We were freaking out. I was actually I was in the studio with AO when we found out that song had just got added to it. And it got added like number 3. They like blessed us.
Oh yeah.
They put us like right there.
Yeah.
And I remember being like, yo, what the fuck? Like we got put right in the spotlight of it.
And tangibly, what does that mean for your career? Like what did being on that playlist do for you?
Man, I think like it's hard for me to gauge, but I would say like damn near everything.
Yeah.
For the song, if we're going to talk about the song specifically,
yeah.
I feel like it kind of did, I don't know, it kind of did everything really. Like it put so much attention on it. It put so much attention on such a weird song. A song that starts off, what's wrong, Carl?
Yeah.
Man,
yeah.
Nah,
yeah, wait,
man,
whose idea was it to do that intro?
It was mine, but Boat does that too. If you guys, the first Boat mixtape, he does that.
Yeah,
and,
yeah, yeah.
And so... And I always love theater, you know what I'm saying? I always love theater and acting and just doing dialogue and monologues and shit. And I actually do that in a lot of my early mixtapes, Super Duper, which I don't want you to listen to.
Oh, right. It's fine. I won't. Don't
yeah.
Mind.
Well, it has all these, like, intros and shit where I pretend to be this, like, host.
Mm-hmm.
I pretend to be, like, this talk show host and
yeah,
shit.
Right.
And So I just do that.
Well, okay, so in terms of scripting that out, because I assume it was scripted.
Unscripted. Freestyled 6 times till we got it
six
right.
6 times.
Took improv classes in high school.
Yeah.
Unscripted. You can't script that, bro.
Yeah.
I can't remember a time I was goddamn wrong. You think somebody writes that down? That comes from the soul.
To be fair, I don't think that Yachty writes anything. So.
damn near not. He damn near didn't write the second half of his verse. He just started punching it in.
You also do a very good Yachty.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I try to get really good impressions, but I don't break them out until I'm good at them. I'm working on my 50 Cent one now, but you can't get a preview.
So I'm sure, because you've been doing a lot of press, I'm sure that everybody asks you about the Oprah selfie.
Yeah.
Right? Okay, so my...
Actually, no. Nobody's asked me that yet.
Oh, well. Well, that's crazy to me. So I do want to hear about the Oprah selfie, but...
Okay.
I did see that you took a picture of you with the camera.
Yeah.
But that camera looks very complicated to handle with one hand.
No.
So my question is, was it actually a selfie, or did somebody take a picture with you and Oprah?
It was actually a selfie stick. It's actually, we put that big ass camera on a really like, it's like a...
You did a selfie stick with Oprah.
Yeah, selfie stick with Oprah. It's like a big ass sword. Mm-hmm. And when I...
Oh no, I'm familiar with what a selfie stick is.
Yeah, no. But
I lived through 2015.
No, this one is literally a sword. And when I say some magic secret word I can't tell you, it just like can like extend or like get shorter and shit.
Mm-hmm.
So I randomly had that conveniently on me and I broke that out. And
you
that,
have a
and
sword
that's how that happened.
That can...
A sword that extends with magic...
Yeah, Eric,
hey, don't believe
don't
me
you know
if you
anything?
Don't want. Yeah, I know.
God,
where have you been, bro?
Read a book.
God, don't you guys have Amazon? Did you buy shit online? Look it up.
So wait, so how do you get near Oprah?
You know, I'm a nice guy. I feel like I'm a charmer. I feel like I can just kind of like. I feel like I can just kind of like talk my way into a room.
But what room? Like, where were you guys?
So it was me, Oprah, mad other famous people I can't talk about, but yeah, at an undisclosed location I can't mention. And, there was one security guard. It was actually, it was close. It was nearby, but it wasn't over there. There was one security guard that I had to rap the greatest rap that's ever been written to. But I can't rap that to you either because I had to sign an NDA. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it's just it's a story I can't really explain. But just know it happened and I prevailed. So.
But this... Did it actually happen? Like, I'm very confused.
Yeah. That's the whole point. That's what I kind of want to leave you with that. So, know, well, if you can imagine.
Yeah. It was crazy.
You can imagine in a young boy's heart who just tried to get a selfie with Oprah somewhere. Magic.
That's pretty good, too.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Wait,
thank you.
So
thank
you love Jadakiss. Can you do a Jadakiss laugh?
I can't really. I'm going to keep it solid. Nobody but Jadakiss can do a Jadakiss
right.
laugh. It's damn near blasphemous to attempt one.
Right,
I'm sorry, Jadakiss.
Right.
I apologize, bro. But,
we'll edit that out and put
that's
some,
my
like,
favorite rapper.
Yo, Jay's the man.
Top of the food chain. It's just the way that I do things. The dungaree seats in the blue range. I'm working with new change. A Gemini nigga with moose swings. Had a fiends looking for new things. I stopped playing with birds and started playing with words. The money wasn't right, so I had to stay on the curb and I'll be a player later. But for now, call me Poulet Kiss. If not that, Montega Jada. I kick hard balls and blow hard weed and be everywhere because I move like all Steve. And my aim is to make y'all bleed. Y'all got embarrassed in the class when the teacher used to make y'all read. Mind over matter. And that's all good, but fuck that. My new shit is spine over bladder. And everybody trying to get to the top. And that's all good too, but right now I'm on the ladder.
Okay, but now do YG jerking face.
I got you. I'm your pusher. Stop acting bougie. Now she won't fuck me. In a jacuzzi. She heard him X-rated. She want to make a movie. I murdered that shit. Rest in peace to her coochie. I'm with TY $H&AZ. And you know them doodoo mamas drive me crazy. I mean this when I say this. I'll fuck you, then pay me. Bag it up. Toot toot. She want to run a train, so I wrote it like a choo-choo. AYG, how you doing? I say soo whoop. Push this motherfucker and it's tatted on me. And I don't fuck with rat bitches. They might rat on me. And I'm never no rat, but I'm out for the cheese. Some, and I do it with ease. Hey, I heard you, YG. How you doing? Yeah, walk through. And plus, I'm shitting on every nigga you talk to. Yo, push. I'm yo, push. It's...
All right, now,
it goes back. It
now
goes
do
back.
The KID stuff you don't want us to hear.
Yeah. Yeah. Whew.
Yo, Kyle.
That can't happen. I'm sorry. I would do it, but it can't happen.
Congratulations on everything. Congratulations
Thank you,
on
fam.
A
Thank you.
An amazing career that has very little L's in it, you know?
Yeah.
Man, only, you know it.
Well, there's one hella.
L's, yeah. The thing is, L's are how you, they're just about how you interpret it. You know what I'm saying? Anything can, you can make anything an L or you can make anything a dub.
Well, you know apparently, what I mean? Yeah, but you can't make a second L if you're L's kid.
Man, that just went right over the dome. I didn't.
Yeah, woo. Same with the 13-year-old barber.
Yeah. Oh, true. There you go.
Whoa. Brought it back. Full circle.
Thanks so much for coming.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, guys. Y'all are awesome.
We're doing a hug. You just can't see. There we go.
Woo. Appreciate you. Thanks, everyone, for listening to this new episode of A Waste of Time with It's the Real Jeff. If people want to find out more about us, if people want to find out more about this podcast, where the hell can they go?
You can always go to SoundCloud.com/A Waste of Time. You can also go on iTunes and search for A Waste of Time with It's the Real. We are trying to get on Stitcher. We're trying to get on Spotify. So we're working that out with the Loudspeakers Network guys. Shout out to them. Twitter at It's the Real, Facebook at It's the Real, Instagram at It's the Real. On Snapchat, it gets a little bit trickier. We are not It's the Real because It's the Real was taken. So we are It's the Real and It's the Real Eric.
If you leave comments, if you rate us, if you tell friends about this podcast, we don't get to be an underground, you know.
Yeah, I'm tired of being underrated still.
Yeah, we run into people, and by the way, shout out to everybody who I've run into on the train this week. I've run into outside clubs, at our supermarket across the street. People were like, I fuck with the podcast. Well, here's the thing. Let's get other people to fuck with the podcast. So, go to iTunes and leave a comment for us. Leave a rating and tell your friends about it. And listen, we know it starts with us. So that's why we like to shout people out. Shout out to Felby, by the way, who said that the shout outs really work. Zach Felber out there out in LA. Jeff, who do you want to shout out?
I want to shout out a bunch of people. So
let's go.
I want to shout out Camber Weiss, who is now living in Utah, of all places.
Utah.
And I told him to hang out with another one of our fans who lives out there, Emily Estevez, and also Jake O'Connor, her
shout
brother.
Shout out to them.
I want to shout out the PSA podcast.
Okay.
From Brooklyn. Okay, so I went to Katie McGuire's birthday. Happy birthday to her.
Happy birthday.
And I get there, and this guy comes over, and he's just like, yo, I didn't know anything about, like, what the night at SOBs was going to be like, but I was just, like, I was blown away, like, I had a really good time, all
awesome.
That, you know, only good stuff.
Great.
And then he says, yeah, I do this thing called the PSA podcast, and I was like, oh.
Like, record scratch.
Yeah, I was like, I was like, I just listened to the PSA podcast, and I've seen a bunch of people, like,
talking about it.
Yeah, like, people who have been on our podcast, like, we had, they had Jersey Jinx on, and they've had a bunch of other people in the New York scene who have been on, and I'm like, wow, that's cool, another emerging podcast.
Let's do it.
But the reason that I really know it is because they talked about our show, and this guy really loved it, but his co-host said that it was gentrification of Brooklyn on stage, and so I was like,
listen,
is that you, or is that your co-host?
Listen. We are the Upper West Side.
Yeah, like, if I'm going to gentrify anything, it's already been gentrified. So, he was awesome. I had a good time talking to him. And he did invite us onto their podcast.
All right, well, let's make it happen.
So, we'll see how it goes.
All right. I would also like to shout out a couple podcasts. Obviously, our friends over at the Sunday Forecast.
Yes, up in the Bronx.
Shout out to those guys. They talked about the show at SOB's, your girls tour. They loved it, had a great time out there. They were front and center, and we appreciated them. I'd also like to shout out the guys from the TOS podcast, the Officially Street podcast.
Yes.
Those guys came all the way from
the Poconos. Even though every time I say that it's Hershey, Pennsylvania, it's actually not. It's Poconos.
The Poconos.
Yeah.
They came up for the show. We hung out for 20 minutes beforehand, and they talked about it on their podcast, which is awesome. It sounds great. Their rapport is awesome. Good dudes. Great podcast. You know what? Great dudes. Great podcast.
Yeah.
We so appreciated them hanging out at the show. Glad to meet them in person. Remember, tell us how we're doing. Tell us if you want us to come perform in your city. Hit us at jeff@itsthereal.com and eric@itsthereal.com. Guys, big announcements on the way. Stay tuned to A Waste of Time with It's the Real. We'll see you again next week.
Yep.
Not for real, for real. We'll see you then.